I teach themes. Every year I teach a different theme. This year I'm teaching on prosperity. Prosperity, and I shared this Sunday morning, and Sunday morning, Tamika was there, and Lisa was there, and Kenya was there, and Naomi was there, and Birmingham with us. And so I mentioned this Sunday, prosperity is broad. Lift your hands out like this. Lift your hands out like this. It's broad. It covers your spiritual life, your mental life, your emotional life, your physical health, your financial life, your relationships. So every year I will take a theme and normally it falls within the framework of that arena. This year we are carving out financial prosperity. But even when you talk about financial prosperity, it's deep. Come on, do it like this. It's deep, okay? In other words, there are laws that govern our prosperity. There's the law of mind renewal. There's the law of giving and receiving. There's the law of obedience to the Holy Spirit. There's the law of words. There's the law of vision. There's the law of integrity. There's the law of excellence. So we cover all these different laws. Now, here's what I started this year, because this is my second year having the Bible study here. We meet here every Wednesday. Naomi will go back over that. We meet here every Wednesday at 7. But what I began this year is try to weave in what I'm teaching in Birmingham with what we're teaching in here. So we finished last week on a series called Just a Dime. We were talking about tithing. I talked about it in Birmingham and I talked about it here. Well, this past Sunday, I began a series under the law of words, and it's called War of Words. And we talked about caught in a trap. So normally I would teach that here and then come here, but I'm changing a little bit, okay? I'm going to introduce another law here. And then somewhere down the road, we're going to get back intersect with what we're teaching in Birmingham. So when we start the church in the fall, we're going to be all learning the same thing. There were just certain things that I wanted to make sure that this group here, because some of you have made a decision to become a part of Faith Chapel. Woo! But then others of you may be in transition. You're just kind of praying about it. You know, you're kind of praying about it. You're not sure, but you're praying about it. So I wanted to make sure that we did some things that will assist you in your decision in terms of becoming a part of the church. So I got a series called Too Much. Boy, when we hit that, that's going to be on vision. Yeah. We got to all talk about that. Yeah. Oh, we got to all talk about that. Because, see, we're gonna have a large church. People are going to be coming from miles, from far and near. They're going to be rising up early to just get here. They're going to be standing in line to get in the church. And so we're going to need buildings and land and property and all of that. And it's going to cost. And we're going to have to believe God for all these things. And lives going to get transformed. And it's going to be just absolutely, absolutely, absolutely amazing. So I got to talk about that, because God is a God of too much. So when we get to that series, we're going to intersect and we're going to end back up, and everybody in Birmingham and everybody in Columbus is going to be hearing the same thing. And then when the church starts in the fall, everybody going to be hearing the same thing all the time. Okay, all the time. Okay. So I want to begin a short series on alignment. It's going to be on the law of alignment. It's so important that we be where we should be doing, what we should be doing, and connected to who we should be connected to. I'm very much aware of the fact that people come to the Bible study, maybe being members of another church, and by no means are we trying to get you to leave your church. So what I'm teaching will also apply to wherever you are, wherever you go to church. Alignment is so very important. Amen? Amen. I believe it's going to be a blessing. You ready? Yeah. Say this, the word of God. is the answer. Normally we'll put the scriptures up on the monitor. So if you have your Bibles, you want to turn, you can turn, but we're going to put them up on the monitor. And we don't have graphics on this series for whatever reason. We don't have it this time, but we're going to run on and see what the end going to be. Okay. We're going to talk about from the subject, where are you? We're going to talk from the subject, where are you? So I'm asking you that question. Where are you? Where are you? Turn to your neighbor, look at somebody in the face and ask them the question. Come on, preach to them. Say, where are you? Where are you? The theme of this short study will be on proper alignment or proper placement. Lesson one is tonight. We're going to talk about divine alignment and divine destiny. Divine alignment and divine destiny. Listen at this. From the very beginning of time, proper alignment or proper placement has been important to God. It was Adam being misaligned that caused God to ask, Adam, where are you? Where are you? You see, Adam was in alignment with the will of God. He was where he was supposed to be. He was doing what he was supposed to be doing. And somewhere he got bumped out of alignment. So God asked the question. He said, Adam, where are you? We're going to be talking about alignment from a spiritual perspective, but we all understand, especially you should understand alignment when it comes to your automobile. How many drive an automobile? Now, most of us just drive the automobile. We don't know about all the intricate things about it. But when you bought that automobile, if it was a new automobile, the tires were in alignment. They were, and the wheels were in alignment. But over the course of you driving that car, sometimes due to road conditions, sometimes you hit a pothole, sometimes you run into a curve. If you have a minor fender bender and just driving habits, your wheels and your tires get out of alignment. Now, the problem with a car being out of alignment, when it's out of alignment, it shakes, it vibrates, especially around the steering wheel. It began to vibrate. And then, have you ever been driving your car? You take your hand off the wheel and it pulls. It'll pull to one side. If that car doesn't stay in the road over the course of a period of time and it pulls to the side, that means it needs alignment. When your wheels and tires are not in alignment, it causes your tires to wear out faster. And you have to use more fuel. So it's very important for your wheels and your tire to be in alignment, because the safety of your driving conditions will decrease if your tires are out of alignment. And so you go to a technician, service technician, and it helps that car get in what? In alignment. So in the same way that our automobile gets out of alignment, sometimes our lives get out of alignment. And the interesting thing about this series is that alignment is not permanent. In fact, technicians said that every 10,000 miles or when we get new tires, we should make sure that our wheels and our tires are in alignment. So you can be in alignment today and not be in alignment tomorrow, because there's certain things that happens in our lives and some issues and the way we react and respond to life sometimes pushes us out of alignment. So listen very carefully. Where we live, where we work, the people we are connected to, including who we are married to. And I've been married for 40 years. Come on, give me some love. Show me some love. And I ain't seen my wife in a few days. My daughter moved to Atlanta, so she's been in Atlanta. And so she'll be coming home. When I get back home, she's going to be at home because I haven't seen her, because we're in alignment. And when you're in alignment, you got to be together. See, you gotta be together. So where we live, where we work, the people we are connected to, including who we marry, and even where we worship, where we go to church, it's important to our destiny. It's important to destiny. And I'm excited. In fact, you don't have any clue of how excited about I am being here in Columbus. I think Columbus is going to do something special for me.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
God has been good in my life.
Amen.
He's been good to me.
Amen.
But it's something about alignment. It's something about doing what God wants you to do. Being where God wants you to be, it does something on the inside of you. It stirs you up. It energizes you. Say alignment.
Alignment.
Say alignment.
Alignment.
Come on, ask your neighbor. Come on, say, are you in alignment?
Are you in alignment?
So we're gonna talk about alignment and divine destiny. Alignment. So let's talk about divine alignment first. Let's talk about divine alignment first. We'll look at a text, Amos chapter 3. We'll put it up on the monitor, and then I'll give you a definition of alignment. Here's what I want to do today. We're introducing this. Here's what I want to do. I want you to listen at the end of the lesson. We always have Q&A if you want to ask questions, but I want to extend it. If there was something that God said to you, share it with us. Share with us. If maybe God didn't say it to you, but it was a point that really jumped out at you, share it with us, and then we'll learn from each other. Okay? So let's look at this text, Amos chapter 3, verse 3, in the King James, traditional King James. And I'm thinking about going to a new translation. I'm excited about that. I do a lot of reading from the New Living Translation. And so I'm thinking about going to a new translation, but this is the King James. It says, can two walk together except they be in agreement? Can two walk together? What's the answer to that question? Talk to me.
No.
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 No, two can't walk together because if they're not in agreement, they're not in what? They're not in alignment. Now, allow me to give you some definitions of the word alignment. Alignment means to, and this is all recorded, it's being in step with God's will and being in unity with God's spirit. So when you made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, the Holy Spirit came on the inside of you. Every born again Christian, he's on the inside of you and he's directing you. And so it is being in tune with God's will. And it's being in tune with the Spirit of God's leading in your life. Divine alignment, listen at this, is a little bit different. It's a strong interest in God's feelings and a willingness to put his preferences above our own. Now, this is something that you grow into because we all have some selfishness on the inside of us, okay? It was a part of our old nature. When we got saved and Jesus Christ came to live on the inside of us, he put a new nature on the inside of us, okay? But at the same time, we have to grow in alignment. In other words, we have to grow, watch this now, in having an interest in what God feels, okay? And putting his preferences above my own. That's the place of joy when we learn, and that's what spiritual growth is. It's coming to a place where you want to know what God feels about this. You want to know what God feels about this person. You want to know what God feels about this relationship. You want to know what God feels about this thing that I'm doing, and you choose to put his preferences above your own. That's alignment. Thirdly, alignment, if the thought of pleasing God is very important to you. The thought of pleasing God is very important to you. And the thought of God being dissatisfied is unsettling.
Amen.
Is the thought of pleasing God important to you? Okay. Is the thought of not pleasing him, does it unsettle you? We're talking about alignment. Now, Rick Renner said this. Alignment is determining, watch this now, to shove aside all preconceived notions about your calling. All your desires, all your self-made plans, in order to come in alignment with God's plan. Even though we get saved, we still got our own plans. This is what I want to do. I had no desire to be a minister. No desire whatsoever. My plan was to, well, you know, I was in a hoop dream trying to get to the NBA. So when that didn't work, you know, I went to law school for a minute. So my plan was to be an attorney. I was going to be a black paramason. But God had another plan for my life. Now, I know God's plan is not that everybody be a minister. But God has a plan for your life. God has a plan for your life. And alignment, watch this now, is shoving aside all preconceived notions and ideas, all of your desires, and you're embracing God's plan for your life. Now, that can be a little scary. But the closer you get to God, you know that he always wants best for your life. I never wanted to be a minister, would never want to be anything but a minister. Think about that. Never wanted to be a minister, but God's plan was best for me. Mm-hmm. And God knew that I would find great joy and success in being a minister. And God knew that deep down inside, I wouldn't want to do anything else but be a minister. God has a plan for your life. We're talking about alignment. Say alignment. Say alignment. Now listen at this. Divine alignment encompasses several things. It encompasses what? Several things. Number one, God's assignment. It encompasses what? God's assignment. In other words, doing what God wants you to do. In your prayer time, and you should all have a time where you spend time with God. Do you ever talk to him about what is it you want me to do? That's been predominant in my prayer life. It's been predominant in my prayer life. Okay, God, what is it that you want me to do with my life? That should be predominant in your prayer life.
Amen.
God's assignment, doing what God wants you to do. You come on in, sweetheart. Don't bother me at all. Just come on in. Doing what God... Divine alignment also encompasses God's attitude. God's attitude. His motives, his thinking, his acting. Reacting the way God wants you to do it. Alignment. Bible says over in Matthew chapter 5, it says, love your enemies. It says, bless them that curse you. It says, do good to them that hate you. It says, pray for them that despitefully use you. Now, alignment, watch this. Alignment means I embrace his attitude and his motive. Whereas I would want to hate my enemies because I want to be in alignment with him. I'm going to love my enemies.
Yes, sir.
I'm going to do good to those who hate me. Pray for those who do. So you see that self-life is pushed off the table. That's what alignment is about. It has nothing to do with what you think about it, what you feel about it. It has nothing to do with what they did, what they said. God says, love your enemies. So alignment means I'm going to bring my attitude in line with his attitude. Divine alignment also would include God's geography. God's geography. Being where God wants you to be. Never been to Columbus before in my life before I came down here. I mean, right now, you can put me outside, take me down the street, I'll be just as lost. But I believe in my heart of hearts is where I'm supposed to be. being where God wants you to be is just so very, very important. That's what prosperity is about. That's what it's about. It's God's geography. Where do God want you to be? This should be in your prayer life. It also includes God. Divine alignment embraces God's connections, being with the people that God wants you to be with. How many know you can be with the wrong people? Teenagers, young people, listen. Who you connect to makes a difference. Mama used to tell me that all the time. My mama said this. See, I was raised by my birth parent. My mama, you hear all my stories. I tell them all over and over again. But see, some people have never heard my stories, so I get a chance to tell them again. Mama said, I'm a little boy. She said, you can't hang with that boy. I said, I can't hang with him. Why I can't hang with him? She said, because he steals. I'm thinking to myself, what difference does it make that he steal? You know, I don't steal. But mama knew.
My Lord.
See, mama knew that the people that I hang with will have an impact on my life. That's what mama was saying. Listen, you don't steal, but the people that you connect with will take you up or take you down like an elevator.
Amen.
Like getting on an elevator. You go up and down based on the people that you're connected to in life. Now, that's true for kids. It's true for teenagers. But it's also true for adults. The people that you're connected to in your life are going to take you up. Are they going to take you down? So alignment is also the connections, the people that you're connected to. Those who walk with wise people will be wise, the scriptures.
Amen.
Companions of fools are going to end up being a fool. Amen. That's what the scripture says. Divine alignment also would embrace God's seasons. God's seasons. Doing things when God wants you to do them. So let's look at what we've learned. Divine alignment includes God's assignment, God's attitude, God's geography, God's connections, and God's seasons. Divine alignment leads to the good life. Come on, say the good life. How many of you want to live a good life? Okay, it leads to a good life. I want us to look at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. And we'll look at the Amplified Bible. It's up on the monitor, the Amplified Bible. Now look at what it says. It says, for we are God's own handiwork, his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, born anew, that we may do those what? Good works. Now look at the words that God what? Predestined. Planned beforehand for us. Watch this. Taking paths which he prepared what? Ahead of time. That we should walk in them, living what kind of life?
The good life.
Living what kind of life?
The good life.
So when I'm in divine, and he prearranged the good life. When I'm in divine alignment, I'm walking the path that God hath prearranged. And that's the beautiful thing about being in the kingdom. Is that God in eternity past, before you were born, knew you were going to get saved. I mean, it didn't catch God by surprise. It wasn't like you got saved and said, oh, Joanne got saved. No, God knew you were going to receive Christ before you received Christ. When I didn't want God, I was in college, I didn't want God. God knew I was going to accept him. And in eternity past, God had created a path he wanted me to walk in, a pathway. He created us free moral agents, which means we have the capacity to say yes to things and no to things. We have the capacity to say yes to people, no to people. We even have the capacity to say yes to God, no to God. That's what free moral agents is all about. So God has, in eternity past, created a path that he wanted you to walk in, okay? And along that path, the Bible says, is the good life. So when I walk the path There will be divine connections. There will be resources. There will be circumstances. There will be everything that I need to be successful in life. How many agree with that?
Amen.
Okay, now, that's the good life. That's he prepared it, okay? But as a free moral agent, I don't have to walk that path. I can marry who I want to marry. God can say, I want you yoked with that person. And the reason why God will say, don't be unequally yoked, is because he's already designed your destiny. And so he knows who would be compatible. Now, whether you believe one person or multiple people is a different issue. But God knows who would be compatible to your destiny. And it's possible to marry somebody that's a good person, but not compatible with your destiny. Does that make sense? And you're not going to have a good life. Because you sure won't, somebody said. So you're going to be trying to turn east and she's going to be trying to turn west. So even though that good life has been prearranged, I can decide, listen, I want that. And I can go down this path. I want to meet people. But the resources over there, the divine connections over there, see, I'm that imprint on this path. Emperor's a good guy. He's a real good guy. Ain't he a good guy? He's an excellent guy. But he may not be the guy God wants me connected to. Does that make sense to you?
That's right.
But as three more agents, we can choose. And that's what we're doing every day. In all your ways, acknowledge him. That's what the scripture says. And he will direct your path. That's divine alignment. Now let's talk. Let me put a qualifier there. Put Mark chapter 10 up there. Now listen at this. You getting some out of this? You getting some out of this? Now listen at this. The good life does not free us from being misunderstood. The good life does not free us from persecution or adversity. Even though walking down this path is a good life, it's going to be some challenges down this path, right? It's going to be some challenges. So we're not in heaven, so it's going to be some challenges. But the good thing about it is God is with us.
Amen.
And if God be with us, who can be against us? So we're more than a conqueror, even though we're walking along this path. Looking at this, it says in Mark chapter 10, it says, but he shall receive 100-fold those who walk the path that God wants them, following the kingdom, shall receive 100-fold now in this time, houses, brethren, sisters, mothers, and children, and lands, with what?
Persecution.
With persecution. So there's going to be some challenges. When we talk about the good life, don't misunderstand it. We're not talking about a life where you're not going to have temptations, where you're not going to have trials, you're not going to have tests, you're not going to have things in your life. We come to church not to get an exemption from challenges. So don't fall into disillusionment. Sometimes in churches, people go and say, well, you know, I understand why this is happening to me. Well, the reason it's happening to you is because you're not in heaven. If you weren't in heaven, it wouldn't be happening to you. Does that make sense to you? We don't come to church to get an exemption from adversity. We come to church to get equipped.
Amen.
We come to church to get equipped so that we will know how to stand in adversity, how to stand on God's word, and how to represent God in adversity. How to respond to situations and how to react to people and how to love all the way through it. Because faith works by. It works by love. Amen. So let's look at divine destiny. Let me ask you a question. How many of you believe that you have a destiny in God? OK. I'm interested to know, I'm almost tempted to ask you what that is. In fact, I'm going to ask you. And in fact, if this is my lesson, I can do it. Okay, I saw every hand go up. I said, how many of you believe you have a destiny in God? And I saw just about every hand. Talk to me. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. What did you mean by that?
My destiny, I'm 37 now. I had no idea when I was playing ball at 18 and 19. But it is to free my family. It is to be that beacon for my family. Without having the past poverty, without having all the past challenges financially, the hardships I can't take away, but I can be a leader and I can be a beacon and I can be a provider. I can be a shower of the way.
So what do you do?
I'm in financial services.
You're in financial services.
Yes,
so you're destined. Anybody else? What did you mean when you lift your hands up? Yes.
I relate with him on that. I'm supposed to be a beacon for my family.
That's what he said.
Yep. And I'm noticing the weight of that. But then God reminds me that it's not my power, but His power. And I also know that I'm supposed to be that person that helps and consoles. So that's why I'm going to go be a psychologist.
Okay.
Yep.
Anybody else? Okay, I'm going to go here, and then I'm going to come over there to you, and then I'm going to come to you. Okay? I'm coming here. And here, and then I'll pick up. And then I'll let the rest of y'all talk later.
I'm going to use their words to be that beacon of light to adolescent girls.
Okay, beacon of light.
A beacon of light to adolescent girls, 14 to 18-year-old young girls, to lead them to be that light, to show them the way to the good life.
To the good life. I love it. Yes.
I think that divine destiny means... it's something that I am set or ordained to do by God. And my profession is an attorney, and I started saying that when I was about 5 years old, and I didn't know what an attorney was, but I know now that God placed it on my heart to become an attorney. And so my path, honestly, to becoming an attorney was pretty easy. There was some adversity. You know, you have to study for the bar exam, which took me down, you know, but I passed.
Okay.
So.
Divine destiny, be an attorney, okay? Yes.
I feel that my divine destiny is for me to continue to prosper financially so that I can go out and financially help people, because right now I'm a nurse.
Okay.
And I help people by caring, but in sitting, I'm a member of Faith Chapel in Birmingham.
Okay.
And hearing the word that, you know, if you put your faith, it's not, you don't have a money problem, you have a faith problem.
Okay.
And so my thing
sound like you remember Faith Chapel. Okay. But you're from Columbus.
Home is Columbus,
okay.
But putting my faith out there, God is going to enable me to not only financially help people, but to work with my hands and my heart, because that's where I am. And I think that I can do that at any age, general.
Gotcha.
You know, so that's where I think that He wants me to be. And I love the word, so it gives me the ability that when I'm doing that, I can also speak God's word.
Good. Excellent. I'm going to give you an opportunity. Others, you may want to say something, but I'm going to give you an opportunity. What this series is going to do is going to have you in a prayer position. We should always be praying about alignment, and we should always be praying about destiny. Because God has a plan for your life. You said as five years old, you felt that you were going to be an attorney. I think some of you heard my testimony about my goddaughter. As a little kid, she would come over to the house. Her name is Constance. A little girl, just a little girl. One day I was in the house, and I walked by a room, and Constance was in there. And I heard her talking to somebody. There wasn't nobody in the room but her. Little old girl, I went back and I looked in the room, and Constance was just teaching. She would say, get over there and sit down. You know, she said, stop that. I'm going to put you in quiet time. I mean, she's just teaching. And, I mean, just a little kid. She's just teaching. And now she's a school teacher. And she recently got her master's, and her goal is to get her a doctorate. But she's been teaching all her life. I said, girl, that was a part of your divine destiny. You know, when I was a little kid, people used to say, you're going to be a little preacher. I used to hate that because I wanted to be a professional athlete. She said, you're going to be a little preacher. And I, 11 or 12, I used to answer so many questions in Sunday school. The teacher just gave me the class. I started teaching Sunday school class when I was about 11 or 12. It was really a part of my destiny. I think that our destiny, there's something that we know early, but we allow ourselves, I'm getting ahead of myself. Huh? What you talking about? What you interrupting my sermon about? Oh, hey, how you interrupt my sermon like that? Okay, what were you going to say?
Whatever he was about to say was about to be good.
And I was like, okay, here's the deal. If I don't mention it by the end of the sermon, say, hey, you remember you getting ready to say something about we know early, but we allow, and then I stop right in the middle? Okay, flag me down. Okay. Don't let me leave. Don't let me quit before I get to that. Okay. I believe I'm going to get to it. Okay, I want to cover something else. Look at Jeremiah chapter 29. I'm going to move through this because I want to hear something you have to say because this is so very important. And I think it's important too, believe it or not, I know that people don't know me, but I love people, okay? I know everybody ain't supposed to come to Faith Chapel. I don't have a problem with that. But some people are supposed to. Some people are supposed to, because I don't think we would be here. Nobody was supposed to be here. So I want you, just as a pastor, to be in the right place. It's very important. For your fulfillment in life, and then beyond your fulfillment, what you're supposed to do in life. So let's talk about divine destiny right quick. Jeremiah 29, verse 11. We'll look at it in the King James, and then we'll look at it in the NIV. God says, Jeremiah 29, 11, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you what kind of end? And expect the end. Now look at the NIV. It says, for I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you. Oh, my goodness. God has prospered my life. Oh, God. God has prospered my life. God wants to prosper you. To prosper you, not to harm you. He plans to give you hope and a future. Yeah. Destiny. Let me give you some definitions. Destiny is something that a person is intended or ordained to become. Secondly, destiny is a place to which someone is headed. Thirdly, destiny is the course or path in life. That includes both the God-given destination and your own faith-filled journey toward that destination. So a destiny is not just a destination, but destiny is the journey. That's the beauty of it. You know, all our life, especially in the Word, we're trying to get to the top, right? We're trying to get ahead, right? So we view destiny as a destination. It's a place. Mm-hmm. But God doesn't view it as just a place. It's the journey. God is always doing something wonderful in our lives, even when we don't know it. Amen. It's the journey. Journey is a part of destination. The fact that we're here is a part. The fact that I'm here, I mean, who would have thought of this 3 years ago? I wouldn't have thought of this 3 years ago. But the journey is a part of it. All my life, I was always trying to get somewhere. But destiny is not just somewhere out here. Destiny is the journey that we're on, the path that we're on. Now, listen at this. There are two sides to destiny. Predestination, human responsibility. Predestination, human responsibility. Let's look at predestination. Predestination is the divine determination of the way our life should be lived and the way our gifts, talents, and abilities should be used. It is a divine determination, predestination, a divine determination of how our life should be lived and how our gifts and our talents should be used. You ever watch these award shows? And a rapper or somebody, and ain't against rappers, okay? But a rapper who may have done a lot of music and it's vulgar, okay? And they win a Grammy and they stand up, watch this, and they say, I just want to give God praise and honor for the gifts he gave me. See, a lot of us Christians would say, ah, they shouldn't be praising God. Oh, no. See, we talk against that. But really, that's the truth. These guys are incredibly gifted, incredibly talented. And it's not of human origin. It's God that has put something on the inside of them to be able to put lyrics together, to be able to orchestrate and design and to do all the things is a God-given talent. It's a God-given ability. It's just outside of how God intended for the gift and the talent to be used.
That's right.
It's God.
That's right.
Does that make sense? Just like the crack dealer, the drug dealer. A good drug dealer is anointed. People out in the street selling drugs have a gift from God. They know how to package. They know how to connect. They know how to network. They know how to sell. They know how to distribute. That's a gift from God. It's just a perverted gift. Does that make sense? That's a businessman. All that is a God-ordained businessman that God intends to make millions, but it's just a perversion. So predestination is the divine determination of how our life should be lived and how our gifts and talents should be used. But the other side of this destiny thing is human responsibility. And human responsibility is our submission to God, our willingness to obey God, our cooperation with God. Now look at what it says in Ephesians 1:11. How many are getting some out of this? Spirit of God want to push you into alignment. That's where you're going to be happy. That's where you're going to be successful. And it may be outside of your comfort zone. And it may be outside of what you want to do. Outside of what you want to do. I spent all that time in my life, all my time trying to make it to the NBA. And not one time did I ask God what you want me to do. I think it's God's will for some people to make it to the NBA or the NFL or professional athlete. leaks. I think that's a calling on some individuals' lives, but I don't think it's a calling on everybody's life. Look at what this text says. Ephesians 1:11 says, "In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will." You know, sometimes things don't work out. Not because we don't have faith. We all know all the mechanics of faith. We confess in and we give in and we're doing all these different things. But sometimes things don't work out because they are not in conformity with the purpose of his will for our lives. That's why stuff wasn't working out for me. Sports weren't working out, and I was pretty good. You know, I could hoop. But it didn't work out. Law didn't work out. And I didn't flunk out. It just didn't work out. Some things doesn't work out because it's not in conformity with his will. Now listen to this. And I'm about to close. Say, he about to close now. Okay. Now listen at this. God will bring people, line up events and circumstances, and release resources into our life at exactly the right time for us to fulfill his destiny. Amen. Let me say that again. God will bring people. He'll bring the right people in our lives. He'll line up events and circumstances, and he'll release resources into our life exactly at the right time for us to fulfill our destiny. Amen. When you look at Joseph, Joseph went from the pit to Potiphar, and he went from Potiphar to the prison, and he went from prison to the palace. Divine destiny. His destiny was the palace, wasn't it? Right? But he went through some challenges to get there. Now, this is my last statement. Divine alignment overrides our immaturity, sins, mistakes, and even other people's attempt to abort God's plan for our lives. When we're in alignment, God will help us even when we sin. When we're in alignment, God will help us even when we make mistakes. And when we're in alignment, can't nobody stop you. Any attempt to abort God's plan will be derailed because you're in that place that God wants you to be in. How many got at least one thing out of it?